It's John Lund Unleashed. Shout out to Lund loyalists watching on YouTube, those watching on X, Instagram, Facebook, and JohnLundUnleashed.com and the Lund Lunatics, listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. Make sure to subscribe and like John Lund Unleashed on YouTube and keep those alerts on so you don't miss anything. Now here's Johnny.
Welcome back. It is great to be here on a Monday night, double Monday night, which I tell you this all the time. They should do that. I don't know what we're waiting for. Thursday, to hell with the high schools on Friday. Let's dominate on Friday. Of course, we have college on Saturday, so I can deal with Saturdays, taking the day off, and then Sunday dominate. Monday should double dominate, but there's Mac Jones, one of my pet peeves, and I think everybody knows this, one of my pet peeves is when people say that because it's Kyle Shanahan's offense, it's easy. The big easy. This ain't easy. The big easy wasn't easy. You get the pun right there. Hopefully, because I have to explain it, probably it's not good. But the big easy, this ain't easy, people saying it's easy, all those kind of things, welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the good, bad, and the ugly. We do this after 49ers wins, losses, whatever the case may be. Lots of good wins and lots of good goods right there. Some bads, the uglies are just the injuries. That's what happens every single week, it seems, with the 49ers. Just the injuries are the uglies. So again, welcome, welcome, welcome. It is John Lund. It is John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. We are damn happy that you are here tonight because we got a ton to go over. And I just watched Geno Smith just suck ass for the Raiders. And young George, my son, of course, is a big Raiders fan. And people debating whether the Seahawks are better with Sam Darnold or Geno Smith. It's Exhibit A. And I know you don't care about Seattle or the Raiders or anything. Maybe you do care about the Raiders because of the Bay Area connection. But Geno Smith, I think, is one of the most overrated quarterbacks. People get all jazzed up about the fact that he completes passes. He's a check down Charlie, and that's how he completes a high percentage of his passes. But he's brutal. And I don't know what it is. They've been just trying forever to get a defense for the Raiders, and they were terrible. And what does Jim Harbaugh do? Jim Harbaugh just wins. In his second year, in the second game of his second year, they already beat Kansas City, which we'll go around the NFL and we'll talk about Kansas City and their 0-2 start. Their demise is greatly, greatly, greatly exaggerated, even though they're 0-2, and we'll get into that conversation. But Jim Harbaugh just wins everywhere. So he just beat the Raiders, and it is really hard to establish a winning culture. And one of the things that the Chargers have done over the last few years is they have had the win and had it snatched or turned into a loss more than any other team. And you kind of just laugh at them. Whoever they have, whether it's Staley is the head coach or whomever is the head coach there over the last number of years, it's like they win. No, they didn't. They lost. And you kind of just laugh at them. And you look at them and you say, they have talent. They just can't. They don't understand how to win games. And Jim Harbaugh is the best, or one of the best, maybe of all time, of changing culture like that. And they've already got an identity. What do? They run the ball. They're tough. They just like they were with the 49ers. Jim Harbaugh instills that, whether it's San Diego, whether it's Stanford, whether it's Michigan, whether it's the Chargers, they do the same thing every time. They instill the toughness, the punch in the face, they do the whole thing. They play great defense. They get an identity as fast or faster than anybody, and they just did it to the Raiders tonight. And in watching Geno Smith and in watching the Raiders try to establish a defense for a number of years and not be able to figure it out, and then to watch what Jim Harbaugh has done with the Chargers, and then the other Monday night game tonight, which I love the double Monday night, by the way, which I'll say a million times, I love double Monday night because then you can watch more games. You know, Sunday there's a gazillion games going on, and I get it. And even if they try to stagger start them, you don't get to see them all. And I love quad boxes, and I have everything possible that you can have, and I have lots of different devices going on and different TVs, and I love it. And you can put the games that you want in those boxes and everything. It's just not the same thing. So give us Thursday night, give us Friday night, give us two Monday nights. Like, I want to see as many games as I can and be able to focus. But give it up to Baker Mayfield, who, you know, first overall pick, he blows out in Cleveland. Who doesn't? And then he comes back and wins the game with 6 seconds left, leads him on that drive to beat the Texans which, by the way, that's why I'm not ready to give it up to Jaden Daniels, because C.J. Stroud, what the hell happened to that guy? All of a sudden, it's like, oh, he's going to be the greatest. He's a top five quarterback. No, he's not. And D'Amico Ryans, who everybody, well, the Texans were going to be this and they were going to be that. And all of a sudden, you turn around and you're like, what happened to the Texans? And the Bucs go in there and Baker leads them down the field. And I'm not saying that Baker's the greatest quarterback in the league, but with 2 minutes left in the game and the way that he's kind of a gamer, made that run at the end of that game. So, man, just two great games tonight. Well, not great games. Second game wasn't great, but just establishing in the way that Harbaugh is. I don't know. I'm just a Harbaugh guy. So anyway, just around the NFL. But you can see on the board right there, we'll get into the good and the bad and the ugly. 26-21 over that thing. And Mac Jones, and one of my pet peeves, which we'll get into. But Mac Jones, what he did at CMC, which I know that everybody wants to make a quarterback and MVP of a team every single time, but without CMC, they're nothing. Jennings, we'll get into. Warner was great. Huff the play at the end. Mikel Williams, vastly underrated what he did in that game. Nick Bosa, I told you this back in training camp. He is on a mission. And he'll never say it, but he's on a mission to say, okay, I think you've all forgot about how good I am. And he absolutely is. I know that Pinheiro missed an extra point, but does Jake Moody hit both of those field goals, which was the difference, by the way, in the game, the 44 and the 46 D winners. I told you all through training camp, and I know that he missed a couple of tackles yesterday, but he's this heat-seeking missile, and he's making more tackles than he missed. Last year, he would be there. He just couldn't make the tackles. We'll get into that. Some bad, some ugly, and then we'll go through the rest of the NFL. And I know it's only two games in, so yeah, it's an early sample size, but it's what we have. And both in the AFC and NFC and what we know, and then some major things. What's going on with the Chiefs? The injury to Joe Burrow, which is a toe injury just like we have with Brock Purdy, but it's a much more problematic thing for the Bengals, and it always seems like Joe Burrow's getting hurt. So what we know, what we don't, and then the NFC West. Look, Seattle's a good team, and that was a big win for the 49ers last week. Seattle made the Steelers' offensive line look really, really ugly. That's a good Seattle team, and they're going to beat a lot of teams. And for the 49ers to go into Seattle and get that big win, that's a nice win for the 49ers. So that's a good Seattle team. The Rams are off to a 2-0 start. The Cardinals, who the Niners get their home opener this weekend, and Kyler Murray and company, they didn't look overly impressive in that game against the Panthers. The Panthers came back, could have won that game, and they didn't. They couldn't get it done. Bryce Young couldn't get it done at the end, so at least the Cardinals are 2-0. So the division is going to be tough, and we thought it was going to be tough as well. The Cardinals just kind of look like the Cardinals, so we'll get into the conversation about that, and then we'll just take a wider look at everything and just through 2 weeks, kind of who looks like what and some injuries. And then, of course, everybody wants to talk about Kansas City. So anyway, there's a lot to go over. Do remember, it's John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Please make sure you subscribe, get those alerts on. And if you would hit us with a like before you get out of here as well, the algorithm loves the like. The algorithm loves the like. So anyway, it is great to have you all here. However you're watching, if you're watching on Bay Area Sports Collective, that is awesome. If you're watching on John Lund Unleashed, please subscribe. And if you're watching on X at John Lund Radio, may I suggest you come over and hang out with us. Let me do some roll call right here. And if you don't know what we're doing on roll call, it's over on here on John Lund Unleashed. You say hello. And we have a great, great, great group of people that hang out on John Lund Unleashed. It's over here on the chat line. So come over to the chat. Hang out with us if you're on John Lund Unleashed or if you're on John Lund Radio on X. That would be amazing. So look who's here tonight. Carlos Niners 94 is here. Very cool. Yes, I did hear that Pop's going to be on KMBR tomorrow. That is very, very, very cool. On the morning show tomorrow, I talk to Papa all the time. In fact, he won't care if I share this with you. This is exclusive. I want to show you something cool. Just a second. we're exchanging all this stuff. You've probably seen the beard. There you go. That's Papa with a beard watching the Bills come back against the Ravens last week. He's looking good. He's fighting the fight, and he's looking well. So there you go. How about that? He's got the Papa beard on, and he's looking well as he's doing all his treatments. So, yeah, he's going to be on, and he's doing great. So keep the prayers up, man. He really, really, really appreciates it. Don't just stop. Don't stop him now. So really cool. But, yeah, that's going to be cool to hear him, and he's doing great. He's fighting, man. So keep the prayers going for him. Great to see Baba Booey in here tonight. Skills, man. I love seeing Skills in here, man. Everybody's my favorite, but it is great to see you, Skills. Joy, it is great. Yes, I am back, and we'll be doing shows every single night. So you can see there's curtains behind me. We are we're staying in an Airbnb right now because we're doing a major renovation. So we're at an Airbnb, and that's why I was gone, because I didn't have a setup. And even though I have the temporary setup, I wanted to do it out of here. And we have our regular, so I have my regular computer and all my regular stuff. So that's why we were kind of out for a minute, and I was doing tons of different stuff. So we got a lot going on, but we're not going anywhere, so don't worry about it. So I appreciate y'all hanging with me. My good friend Dom, I did get your text, my friend, and I will be getting back to you, and we'll be getting together. So don't worry. I'm not blowing you off or anything like that. It is great to see you. And it is great to see everybody tonight, by the way. And I'll be doing the regular 7 o'clock. So I'm sorry that we're kind of jerking everybody around. I don't want to do the shows during games, because I think people want to be watching the games. So even though the Raiders stunk tonight and Harbaugh was Harbaugh, you know, and then you had a great Bucks game tonight, I like doing them after. So if there's no games, I'll be doing it at 7 o'clock. And so just to let you know, it is great to see you, Chris, my friend. Really nice to see you tonight. Thank you for making the time for us. Really cool, Antonio, that you are here tonight. Sorry to make everybody kind of change up. Glad that you got the alerts. So very, very cool for that. Man, we got a lot of people in the room tonight. Very cool that everybody is hanging out with us tonight. Very cool. Hi, James. Really good to see you, my friend. Jake is here tonight. Very cool. Pine. What is going on, Pine? Look at all these people, man. Very cool. Let's see. Bree Surf. Very cool, man. It's good to see you. Papa with the Popovich beard. That's right. That is cool, man. Look at that Bruce Lee you got going there. Very cool, man. Danny, our good friend from the Valley of the Sun. It is really cool to see you. Very, very, very cool. Let's see. Who else do we have here? Man, nice room tonight. Anyway, John Joseph, it is very cool to see you. So anyway, I'll keep saying hello to everybody, but you always do a roll call and say hello to everybody. So hello, hello, hello to everybody. And do remember, questions, comments, thoughts, everybody, anybody and everybody, if you want to get your stuff on the air 100% guaranteed, just hit us with a super or something like that, and you are supporting the show and getting your questions, comments, thoughts on the air. So anyway, however you're watching, John Lund Unleashed, Bay Area Sports Collective, or X at John Lund Radio, welcome, welcome, welcome on this Monday night as we conclude week number two. All right, let's start with a little bit of Mac Jones, and that was the cover today. This ain't easy in the Big Easy. This is my number one pet peeve. I've known Colin Cowherd for 20 years or more. I used to do middays at a radio station in Portland, Oregon, KFXX. It was 910 The Fan. I think it's at 1080 in Portland now. But it was 910 The Fan in Portland at that time. Colin did middays. I did drive time with a guy named Kenny Vance back in the day. And Kenny and I did the show. And, oh, my God, we just did it. We had a power surge just now. And I think I just – did I lose it? Yeah, look, I just lost all of my stuff I was going to play for you. But you know what? I'm going to just reset all of this. That's okay. I just lost all of this. It's okay. We lost all the videos because of that little power surge just now. I don't know if you guys saw it. I don't know if I'm still in the air. I hope I am. Let's see. Yep. Let's see. Yeah, I just lost all of our stuff, but that's okay. We can work around it, because all I have to do is, as I'm going to play it for you, we'll just have to play it as we... we'll just have to, as we play it, we'll just, yeah, okay. So here's how we'll do it. We'll just play it and it'll pop up. Okay. So anyway, years and years ago, I was on a radio station, KFXX, 910 AM in Portland, Oregon. Colin did middays. I did drive time with a guy named Kenny Vance. And so I've become friends with Colin for a long time. And then he went to ESPN. Then he went to Fox. We've maintained a friendship. He lives down in Manhattan Beach. I know a lot of people dislike Colin. I get it. It doesn't preclude me, because we're friends, to criticize Colin. And this is one thing, whether it's Colin or whatever national or local person says it, you know me, I don't blow smoke up people's ass. And if I disagree with somebody, it doesn't matter if it's somebody that I really like or really don't. I don't really hold grudges one way or the other. This is naive, is what this is. It's just not knowing the game. It's not understanding the game. It's just stupid, to be honest with you. And I say this all the time before I play this. When you play quarterback in the NFL, there's nothing easy about it. In fact, in Kyle Shanahan's offense, it's not easy. it's difficult. Everyone runs a version of this offense, and no matter what you're doing, and Kyle demands perfection. If it was easy to play off a quarterback in anybody's system in the NFL, okay, how come Trey Lance couldn't do it? How come Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't play it as well as what Brock Purdy does? How come there was quarterbacks before in Kyle Shanahan's system and they didn't play it well? You know, I mean, it's not easy. Quarterback in the NFL is the most difficult position to play in any sport. That's just a fact. 300-pound men are trying to end your life on every play. They're trying to disfigure you. They're trying to rip your face off. I've done shows with defensive linemen, and they're trying to hurt you. And even if they say they're not in the NFL, they're not trying to hurt you, just trying to tackle you. No, they're trying to get you out of the game, because if the backup quarterback was as good as you, that person would, that player would be starting, and they're not. So they're trying to get you out of the game. I've talked to many defensive linemen, done shows with those defensive linemen, and they've told me flat out, they're trying to get that guy out of the game because the backup's not as good. And there's nothing easy about playing quarterback. And there's nothing easy about playing quarterback in Kyle Shanahan's system. If you've ever been to like a Niners training camp or anything, Kyle is on top of these guys. They're yelling, screaming. There's just nothing easy about playing quarterback. And it's nothing easy about playing quarterback in Kyle Shanahan's system. Think about it. You have about 2.2 seconds while men are trying to end your life to decide among five wide receivers. Let's say there's five in a pattern, and sometimes there's not. Sometimes a tight end stays in. But remember now, George Kittle is not playing, and Juwan Jennings was hurt. Think about Brock Purdy in week one. Jennings is hurt, and Kittle is not playing, and so there's McCaffrey in there, and these guys you've hardly played with, these wide receivers, guys are trying to end your life, and you've got 2.2 seconds in your mind to decide where you're going to throw this football. And oh, by the way, you've got to be on the same page of these guys, because this guy, the corner's playing outside leverage, so you've got to decide before he even makes that cut that, oh, yeah, he's going to cut inside, and you've got to be on the same telepathic wavelength of those same receivers, and you've got to decide within that time, oh, nope, one's not open, two's not open, three's not open, oh, four is open, but I got to decide with that corner with outside leverage, that means my receiver's going to go in. So before he even makes that cut, I've got to throw that ball in, and I've got to anticipate, and we've got to be on the same page to make sure that he is going to turn in, not out. Oh, if he turns out and I throw in, then that safety is going to intercept that ball, and I'm going to look stupid, and he's going to take it for six. And in the post-game press conference, because I'm the quarterback, I've got to say that I made a bad throw, even though I know, and I'm going to tell him in the locker room, he was supposed to cut in on that play because that safety had, or that corner had outside leverage. And when that happens, he's supposed to cut in, right? 2.2 seconds while a man's trying to rip my face off. But quarterback is easy, right? According to some people, it is.
That was a big ask, and I'll say this. The good news for San Francisco, they now have two quarterbacks that work. One's probably overpaid, and one's absolutely underpaid. But this is what Kyle Shanahan does. That's why I always said with Brock Purdy, Brock's better than Mac Jones. I'm not denying that. Is he $265 million better? Because you go on the road with no Kittle, no Brandon Ayuk. I know it's the Saints, but it's an NFL team. You ask him to throw 39 times. Mac Jones has a below average NFL body. He's not a great athlete. He's got an average NFL arm. And that was a big ask. And he was really good. And the rival LA Rams do a very good job of separating performance from circumstance. I don't think the Niners do. I think the Rams do. That's why the Rams will let go of Jared Goff and Todd Gurley or Cooper Kupp or Jalen Ramsey. They know that Sean McVay elevates every B player to an A player or a C player to a B, B minus player. And so does Shanahan. But sometimes they struggle, San Francisco struggles, separating performance from circumstance. And I think a lot of Brock Purdy's success is circumstantial. It's because of Shanahan. And yesterday proves it. I mean, Mac Jones is not, he could be one of the worst NFL athletes at quarterback. He does not have a big arm. 39 throws, 113 passer rating. And that was his best game as a pro. Mac Jones' best game as a pro. So I'm not saying he's Brock Purdy. He's not. But Brock Purdy's dinged up again. And Shanahan's playbook might as well be called Quarterback for Dummies.
Okay. There's a few things. He makes no sense. What he's saying is that McVay elevates his players, but Shanahan doesn't. But he just said that Shanahan's system is Quarterback for Dummies. In other words, he's saying anybody can do it. But he's saying that with McVay, anybody can do it. But then he's not giving him credit. He made no sense. It was like Billy Madison right now. We're all dumber for having heard that. And I'm friends with Colin Cowherd.
were all dumber for having heard that. He made no sense whatsoever in that. But essentially what he's saying is that Kyle Shanahan's system is easy. It's quarterback for dummies. There is nothing easy about playing quarterback in the league. He's never been to a training camp. He's never seen Kyle Shanahan scream at these guys, stop the play in the middle. There's nothing easy about it. There's nothing easy about making a read in 2.2 seconds while men are trying to rip your face off. And you've got to make five reads. And Kyle Shanahan is damn demanding. And it's got to be perfect. And the ball's got to be right where it's supposed to be. And by the way, you have to anticipate that. The NFL, you can't wait till someone's open. It's not college. They're not open by 5 yards. And you have to be accurate. And you have to anticipate. And you have to know the route combinations. And you have to know where the defense is. And you have to read it beforehand. He's underestimating the biggest fact ever. The mind of those quarterbacks. Mac Jones was the 15th overall pick in the draft. He wasn't bad. His senior year at Alabama, he had 43 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Colin Cowherd and all these national guys simplify things. And when things don't go their way, they move the cheese. So with Brock Purdy, it was like he's got so much talent around him, right? Well, then when Brock Purdy plays well in Seattle and Juwan Jennings is out and Kittle is out, then they move the cheese. Then when Mac Jones comes in, then they move the cheese. When Patrick Mahomes plays poorly and Patrick Mahomes doesn't have, you know, when Kelsey's bad and Tyreek Hill is out, then they say, well, he doesn't have anybody. But if it happens with Brock Purdy and Brock Purdy struggles, they don't give him that excuse. Like, they just keep moving the cheese and moving the cheese and moving the cheese. And he just made the argument that Sean McVay's system elevates everybody, but Kyle Shanahan's doesn't elevate everybody. But then he said that the quarterback system for Kyle is quarterback for dummies. Huh? You just contradicted yourself. Like, they just continue to move the cheese on the 49ers. No, it's because of Kyle. No, it's because he's got weapons. No, it's like they just won't give credit where credit is due. Look, Mac Jones played a great game. Mac Jones was the 15th overall pick in the draft. Then he says Mac Jones is a terrible athlete. Did you see Tom Brady? Did you see Tom Brady's body at the combine? These guys are so stupid. They don't get it. You know what the quarterback position is? It's a mental position. It's not a physical position, but these guys fall in love with it. Joe Montana, one of the best quarterbacks of all time, not a physical specimen. Tom Brady, maybe best quarterback of all time, not a physical specimen. Drew Brees, not a physical specimen. Matt Ryan, not a physical specimen. Go look at the best as far as yards and touchdowns are concerned in the history of the game. Peyton Manning, not a physical specimen. Look at points, look at touchdowns, look at passer rating, look at all those guys, the guys I just mentioned. Are they Michael Vick? No, none of those guys are. These guys don't understand the position. They don't understand it. Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, those are the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Statistically, and just if you just use your eyes and throw the stats out the window and just do my thing that I always talk about, say it with me, watch the damn game. If you just watch the damn game, you know who the greatest of all time. What do they have in common? Mentally, they're the best. And I don't mean to just, you know, drive and want to win the game and leadership. I just mean in terms of what I just said, a 300-pound man is trying to rip your face off and you have 2.2 seconds and four or five receivers in the route. And you've got to make a decision and the right decision. And yeah, you've got to throw it. There's a physical element to this. But dummies, speaking of quarterback for dummies, but dummies who don't understand the position are constantly talking about the arm strength and the physical abilities and how fast a guy can run and how hard a guy can throw it. And they don't get it. They don't understand the position because the guys who burn out at this position are the guys who are so overly concerned about the physical way that they play the game. Like, Aaron Rodgers came into the league physically being able to throw the ball and all those kind of things. The way he survives now is the mental side of the game. He survives mentally now. He doesn't have the physical skills he used to have. And Anthony's got a thing up there and it says Steve Young. Do you know when Steve became great? Is because when he became a pocket passer and he became a mental player. Ask Steve. I've talked to Steve a million times on the air. It's when Steve married his physical skills with the mental skills, and that's when Steve took off. That's what happened. Steve is one of the smartest people you could ever meet. And when Steve took his physical steals, which were really good early in his career, and he made all those great runs and all those highlight things, and all of a sudden Steve went ding and the light went on, it's because every quarterback, and there isn't an exception to this rule, became a pocket passer and understood how to win from the pocket. There's not an exception. There's not an exception. Lamar Jackson's another example of it. Yeah, he's a great runner, but then he married the passing skills, became a good passer. Look at Josh Allen. He's got all the physical skills. He can throw it through a wall. When did Josh Allen really become good? When he understood that he's got to eventually win this thing from the pocket. It's just it's the truth. And so everybody who gets enamored at the combine with who throws it and how hard they throw it and all the different physical skills that they have, that's wonderful. It's just like pitching. And then all of a sudden you go, the guy gets it from a pitching standpoint. Well, how does he get it? Well, he gets it from the mental standpoint. He can outsmart people. It's changing speeds. It's the Greg Maddux thing. All the quarterbacks eventually have to win that way. And so guys who don't get it and guys who don't study it and guys who don't understand it, they just fall in love with it. And it's not just guys like that. It's everybody who evaluates the position. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, and they can't help it. They cannot help the height, weight, speed kind of a thing. And so they look back at it, and then everybody's looking at Mac Jones like he was a seventh round pick or something, like Brock. And when they say he's a bad athlete, what are you talking about? He's a bad athlete. He's not a bad athlete. There's not a bad athlete in the NFL. Maybe a kicker or a punter is a bad athlete. A bad athlete, what are you talking about? There's not a bad athlete. A pitcher's not a bad athlete. A guy who plays in a position, maybe outside of a kicker or a punter in professional sports, there's no such thing as a bad athlete. There's not. Even if you think a guy looks, you know, out of shape or something, or a guard or something, or a DTAC, it's like, can you imagine having to get into, you know, let's say in a football game, there's 60 plays in a game, 60 car crashes. Oh, that guy's fat. Really? Think he could stay in a game and play 60 snaps if he's getting all those car crashes? And I don't mean to get into this tangent, because this isn't the whole show, because if I go into this tangent, it's going to take forever to do this show. Point is, one of my biggest pet peeves is when somebody says that the Shanahan system is easy. Everybody runs a version of it. The hardest position in all of sports is quarterback. How many on the road in the NFL at the position of quarterback, how many on that road are littered with failed quarterbacks? Tons. Like I say, in the first round, it's 50-50, and then it just goes down from there. There's a ton of them. Why is there only – there's not even enough to go around for every team. Now Joe Burrow's out for the Bengals, right, for a couple of months. What the hell are they going to do? Jake Browning, I mean, he won that game barely, but he threw a few interceptions. Like, oh, my God. Like, there's not even enough to go around. There's not even enough of quarterbacks to go around. And how many billions of people do we have in this world, and what do we have? Maybe 20 competent quarterbacks in the entire universe. So there's not very many. And they all get pushed up the board and all this kind of, you know, and that's what happens. And when they take a few years and they start to understand, like Baker Mayfield comes into the league. Why is Baker Mayfield a better quarterback now than when he was drafted by the Browns first overall? Because he matured and he understands it. Now he knows the game. It's a mental thing. He didn't get better physically. When he first got into the league, he was a much better physical specimen than he is now. What is he, near 30 years old probably now? So when Baker Mayfield came into the league at 21 or 22, he was much better physically than he is right now. So at 30, what is he? What made him better? Oh, mentally, he got better. He understands the game now. He studied. He knows what the defense is trying to do to him. So all of a sudden, he's a better quarterback. He's processing faster. That's what Brock does. He's processing faster. Those kind of things. It's so obvious. And then these guys say stuff like, Kyle's system's easy. Everybody's running Kyle's system. It's not easy. The position is not easy in the slightest. Quarterbacks for dummies? Are you insane? I wish that, you know what would be really, really cool? You know how the flight simulators? I want all of us to be able to go into a quarterback simulator. And you know, and it really rocks your world and you get hit. Like I've told you that before. I got knocked on my ass at a Detroit Lions running training camp because I was flapping my gums like this. And I said, because, you know, I've told this story before, but I was on one side of those dummies and it was like a, you know, a D line and you hit them all. Those guys hit them. And I said, I can put on the pads. I was doing a show with a former Lions defensive lineman who had gained about 40 pounds, Mark Spindler. and he had gained about 40 pounds. So he played at about 320. He was like 360. I go, dude, I could run around. I could run around those and be through the, you know, down the sideline by the time you could hit me. And you have to hit all those dummies. So you're on the opposite end. You hit those and I take a pitch and I could be past you and you're not going to hit me. And he goes, okay, challenge accepted. And he had retired probably 5 or 6 years prior. Okay. He was 6'5", and at that point, not in the best shape, maybe 360. So we do this at training camp because I was flapping my gums. And just like at Niners training camp, you know, all the guys. And that was kind of my role, surprisingly enough, to be a smart aleck. So we do it. We pad up. And they pitch me the ball, and I come running around this corner. And I'm not kidding you, man. He had to hit every dummy. So it was, you know, it was a four-dummy thing. So boom, 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 and then he's ready to hit me. And I think I'm going to be long gone. So I take the pitch. I run around. He smokes me. Smokes me. Hits me. I'm not even around the corner. And I start going, knocks the wind out of me. I'm down. From that point forward, I realized these dudes aren't like us. These guys are freaky athletes, 5 years and 50 pounds overweight. Like, it doesn't matter. These are the kind of guys that are trying to kill the quarterback. There's nothing easy about football. There's nothing easy about, and that's the hardest position. And I was just, you know, I was just screwing around doing that at a training camp, just messing around. And these guys are just different kind of athletes. It's just a different kind of a deal. There's nothing easy about it. There's no other position. I mean, hitting the ball is really hard in baseball. Being a hockey goalie is very difficult. All those kind of things. Nothing even comes close to being a quarterback. And so for somebody to say in any way, shape, or form to suggest that it is easy is so stupid and ignorant. Anyway, I'm over it. I you know how I go on these dumb tangents. But I just when people say that kind of stuff, I'm just like, oh, my God. And then to say that Kyle's system is easy when everybody runs a version of it, you just know nothing. I mean, you absolutely know nothing. So what I would love, the reason I bring up that Lions thing, is I would love people to get into a simulator like that. The ball gets hiked, right? And then you've got that 2.2 or 2.3 seconds to find that receiver while people are trying to crush you. And then you actually do get hit like in this simulator and it rocks your house. And it's like, you probably didn't even get through a second read. And again, that's my point. It's the mental 1, 2, 3, 4. Did you get through the reads? Probably not. But it doesn't matter how hard you throw it if you're on your back, because that's the whole point of the position, is getting through all the reads. Then you get the ability to make the accurate throw. Who cares how hard you throw it? I mean, it's a point, but it's how accurately you throw it, or with touch, or whatever the case may be. But you have to mentally, to earn the right to even throw the football, you have to get through the reads first, which a lot of guys can't even do, and that's the end of their career. All right, I'm really gonna be done this time, I promise. I'm really gonna be done this time, I promise. That's it. All right, that's so I'm gonna have to go through, like I said, because we had a little blip there, we're gonna have to go through all of the stuff here. So let's do this, these video files, because I loaded them up, but now I'm just going to have to go through everything. So hold on just a sec as I'm playing these. All right, so let's start. We got a super here. So let me do the supers, and then I'll get through all the stuff here. This is a solid point. Martin Hansen says, and welcome, Martin. Trey Jones in the offseason. Also, what did you think of Collins' play versus the Saints? I will get to the defensive line play, which I absolutely positively loved. I believe Mac Jones signed a one-year contract. The thing that I was – let me make sure that I'm right on that. Mac Jones contract, I think it's a one-year deal. I'll tell you this. If the Bengals – oh, it's a two-year. Two-year, $8.4 million. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they traded him in the offseason and then went to the next guy that needs to be rehabilitated by Kyle Shanahan. I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. And they might – if he plays like that, or let's say that – all of a sudden Brock comes back and that's the only start that Mac gets, teams would probably line up because they're so desperate to get a quarterback. And let's say that, I don't know, let's sake a conversation. I mean, I think Spencer Rattler's a decent player. Pittsburgh, I mean, is this going to be it for Aaron Rodgers? Pittsburgh gives you a call and says, hey, you know, we'll give you a third rounder for Mac Jones. I mean, look, everybody overpays for quarterbacks. And let's say Pittsburgh is 9-8 on the year. I don't think they're going to be terrible. So they're not going to be in a top 10 position to get a quarterback. Aaron Rodgers may be gone after this year, plays 1 year in Pittsburgh and decides to retire finally, just off the top of my head.
they would need a quarterback. Could you get a, you know, would you trade Mac Jones for a third round pick? Of course you would. I mean, you want to keep him around, but he's going to go to you and say, look, I'm ready to start again. So that's a great question. That's a great question. I'll get to the second part of your question in just a second, because I love the D-line play. And you can see on there, on the good, we're going to do the good, bad, and the ugly tonight. On the good, I've got a ton to talk about as far as the defense goes. So we did the part, my pet peeve about the quarterback position being easy, which is just a joke. But let's talk about injuries, because we have to. So here's how Kyle started the press conference after the game, after the win against the Saints.
All right, guys. Injuries from the game. Ben Barch had an ankle, didn't return. Juice had a concussion, didn't return. Saron Neal and Upton Stout were evaluated for concussions, but both returned. Go ahead. I thought it was a huge, I mean, it was a big-time win. Lots of stuff went good in the game. Lots of stuff went real bad. I thought every phase, offense, even special teams, really contributed in that win. I thought it was real cool. The offense finishing the second quarter, the end of the half with a TD. We had that bad turnover to start the third. I think they went down and scored. Fred's turnover was huge. JJ to get that 40-yarder after that turnover was big on capitalizing. And then the teams, those two punts at the end. By Morstead, going to the 6 and the 10 on those last two drives, I believe, were huge. So everyone had their part in not doing great, but everyone also had their part in doing really well, which ended a win and was a hell of a deal.
I love how Kyle says that. He says hell a lot, which I like. This is the injuries as of today. So Kyle Juszczyk, Saron Neal, the special teamer in the concussion protocol. It would be nice to get Juice back. Ben Barch is just an injury machine. This is his third injury. And we're in week two. High ankle sprains always take a long time. Look, the rookie, Colby, the rookie out of Iowa, has played well. And I'm very surprised by that. But again, this is what the Niners do. They take late round guys. You take offensive linemen out of Iowa. They know they're going to play. They're going to be able to play. We know this. Kirk Ferentz, just he bangs them out. That's what they do. So he has played well at left guard. So he has kind of been a bit of a godsend, because Ben Barch just can't stay healthy. Jawan Jennings ankle, day-to-day, that's not a high ankle sprain, and Jawan seems to have a high tolerance for pain, so I would expect Jawan Jennings to keep on playing. Spencer Burford, he's not really in the plans. He is day-to-day, but he's a backup tackle, so that's a major problem. And they don't really have a swing tackle on this team. They have two tackles, and Burford is the backup left tackle. And so that is a problem. But it just seems like every single week we're talking about injuries constantly with the 49ers. I'm not blaming the staff, by the way, which a lot of people are. It's just, look, it's what is happening. The other thing is, I think they're not going to hold out Brock this week because Mac Jones played well. I've heard that theory. Look, here's how it works. This is how professional sports works. If your starter is healthy, he plays. That's how it works. Brock Purdy is not shaking in his boots. His contract, he's got a lot of guaranteed money in there. And look, Mac Jones is a good player. Let's take this head on too. Okay, so the pet peeve thing about Kyle's system being easy is one of the stupidest things that anybody can say. The second part of it is Brock Purdy is much better than Mac Jones. Mac Jones is not a bad player, but Mac Jones is not overly, he's athletic, because everybody that plays professional sports outside of maybe kickers and punters is athletic. It's so stupid when people say that too. But Brock's better. Brock processes faster. Brock knows the offense better. Brock is better in the pocket. He's just, if you know the intricacies of the game and you watch the game, other than, again, national guys who, and look, I give these guys a break a little bit because I've done this. I've done national shows for 3 years. I did the national roundup show, and I've told this story before, but I did the national roundup show for ESPN Radio on game night. And it's so difficult because I would be watching the Niners game. I'm up in the booth in the Niners game, and I'm making notes of the Niners game. And then I'm looking over here on an iPad, and I'm watching the national game, and I'm taking notes for the national show. So I would get off the Niners broadcast for 1 o'clock starts at about 6:45, and then we would reconnect in the same studio that we would do the Niners from Levi's Stadium, Larry Kruger and I, and we would reconnect to the national show. And then they would send us a script about what we were going to be talking about, whatever the big stories were. And I would have a general idea, but I didn't watch them intricately like I watched the Niners. And that's what these guys are trying to do on a national level. They're trying to, they didn't watch the games. So they're trying to get every storyline, and they're watching the big storylines. What are going to be the biggest things that get the most audience? It's obvious, right? It's going to be Dak Prescott. It's going to be Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be, you know, so for this week, I'll give you an example. It's going to be Joe Burrow's injury. It's going to be Dallas's game against the Giants because there's two major markets, right? It's going to be Kansas City going to 0-2. So, that you know, those are kind of going to be the big storylines. And then Mac Jones becomes a big storyline, but they probably didn't watch the whole game. So they come up with these general themes. And if you didn't watch all of them, that, you know, they come up with four or five themes and they talk about them all week long. And they might get a little bit more, a little bit here, but they're not going to go back and watch games and do things like that. I mean, like last night, I watched the Niners game and then I'm a dork. So I went and watched it again. And then in the division, I'll go back and I'll watch Arizona and Carolina, and I'll go back and I'll watch Seattle, Pittsburgh, and especially that weird play in the end zone. And I'll go back and watch the Rams. And because I want to intricately know those teams because the Niners are going to play them a lot. So they don't know them. They don't know the Niners intricately. So they'll stay on a storyline. Like you think to yourself, why do they get stuck on this narrative that Brock Purdy that was, you know, on a local level that was thrown away months ago, because they just don't watch it enough to have it go away, right? And that's how they get stuck on these same narratives, because they stick to a Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott. Like they keep what in radio and in music radio, you call what's called a tight rotation, right? The songs that are played over and over again. Well, these topics that are played over and over again on the national level, because they don't go outside of those topics. Now, Brock Purdy is a topic that's played over and over again, but they're so lazy on the national level that they don't watch the games fully to realize that Brock Purdy has outplayed those narratives, but they just stay with the same ones over and over, if that makes sense. So this narrative this week of Mac Jones could be doing the same things of Brock Purdy is ridiculous. Mac Jones is a nice quarterback, but what your backup quarterback is supposed to be able to do is win you two or three games. Mac Jones was supposed to do what he did yesterday. I got news for you. 279 yards, three touchdowns against a team that's probably going to win. What's New Orleans going to win? Four or five games? They're playing at Seattle next week. They lost to the Cardinals at home. They lost to the Niners at home with a lot of injuries. They're going to go to Seattle next week. They're going to lose. They're going to be 0-3. They're probably going to win four or five games. I like Spencer Rattler. He made some nice plays. When we do the good, bad, and the ugly a little bit more, I'm going to talk about that. Spencer Rattler shouldn't be able to lead you down the field, and that game shouldn't have been as close. It shouldn't have been a 26-21 game. New Orleans is not that good. Mac Jones did really well. I'm not taking anything away from Mac Jones, but if that had been a different team, he might have struggled a little bit. Started 0-4, as you see on the board right there. Started 0-4 under the goods. Went 26-35 for 279 yards and three touchdowns. That 2-minute offense, here are the highlights from Mac Jones. The 2-minute offense right before the half was great. And the 42-yard pass to Juwan Jennings was great. And then the one he dropped into the bucket to McCaffrey was great. That was the one right before the half. It was tremendous. Those were great plays and great throws. I'm not taking anything away from him, but he should do that against the Saints. They're not very good. So let's hit up, like I said, all this stuff got blown up on my board. So let's do this. Here's Mac Jones talking about his slow start and how things got turned around.
And once I finally got into a rhythm and I felt like the line did a great job blocking for me. And when they do that, I know I can sit in there and let it fly. So definitely things to clean up, but really proud of the guys at defense, special teams. And I definitely had a plan coming in, and I'm going to learn from the mistakes I made and then fix them, you know, and that's all you can do. You got to start somewhere. So,
Mackie, you mentioned the nerves. How did those kind of manifest? How did you work through
them? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think it's just like not making it bigger than it is. And like sometimes when you have them, like you fight them, but like you can't really do that. You just got to let them come and figure out how to work through it. And a lot of it's just breathing and slowing down your pulse. And obviously worked on that this off season and got to continue to grow in that area. But, really, the guys around me, like Trent, came up to me. He's like, "You're good, dude. Just go out there and hoop." And I was like, "I got you. I can go hoop." And then once he said that, I was like, "All right, let's play ball." So that was kind of cool.
Was there a completion or a run or something that were you like, "Okay, I feel like I'm locked in now"?
Honestly, just like the first series, I just felt like I could have done a better job starting and finishing, to be honest. And then everything in between, like I felt like pretty rhythmic and stuff. But I know there's going to be things I missed on tape. Like I already know. And like Mick Lombardi did a good job on the sideline. He's like, "Stay in it. You're good. Like, we're going to win this." And he knows me really well. So like, he knows I need to be like tunnel vision and just focus on my job and let everything else take care of itself.
Now, you talked this drive. the touchdown of Juwan, and whether you practiced that, whether you saw it develop during the game, how did it come about?
Yeah, I mean, Kyle, that's one of Kyle's favorite plays, and we always have it in the game plan, and they gave us a different look than what we were kind of thinking. And Juwan just had a drive-by and just caught it, and I just looked to the left a little bit, moved the backer, and then threw it, and then he took it to the house. But he did a great job, obviously playing through some stuff, and love those guys' effort and energy out there today.
So there's Mac Jones. And, you know, the one thing about Mac Jones, and people forget this because he struggled, and then he went to Jacksonville. I mean, the guy was in a Pro Bowl, which they don't play those anymore, but they don't actually play in the game. And then remember, he ran down the field and he did the gritty, and like, he was a confident guy, and he had some success early in his career with New England. He's not Brock Purdy. He doesn't read the field like Brock Purdy. He played under Bill Belichick, who, remember, in the wind in Buffalo when he was a rookie, he threw the ball like three times. So it's not like Belichick gave him the most confidence. Would it surprise me if Mac Jones turned into like a Baker Mayfield down the line and was a successful quarterback in this league? No, it wouldn't. But he does not have the physical skills of even like a Baker Mayfield, who has a pretty strong arm. But to go back to the mental thing, like, he can read defenses. He was a highly thought of recruit. Again, when he was a senior at Alabama, he had 43 touchdowns and four interceptions. He won a national championship. He was the 15th overall pick in the draft. It wasn't like he didn't have accolades coming in here. The Niners, and I know this for a fact, the Niners were locked in on him and at the last minute changed to Trey Lance. If you go back, I did a thing for ESPN TV when they in 2021 and they did the draft, and they had different people who covered different teams, and I happened to do the 49ers. And the night before the draft, I said they were going to take Trey Lance because I had heard that. But up until about a week before the draft, they were going to take Mac Jones. They liked him. So this guy's not coming from nowhere. And as who asked the question before, let me go to Supers. The question, it was Martin. Martin asked the question before, would they trade Mac Jones in the offseason? Yeah, I think they're going to, because what's going to happen here is there's going to be a bit of a trend. And I looked up the 2 year, it is a 2 year contract for $8.4 million. So they could trade him in the offseason. Quarterbacks who are broken mentally, they're going to see this. Sam Darnold, who, by the way, played great yesterday for Seattle against Pittsburgh, played terrible against the 49ers, played great yesterday, even though he had a couple interceptions against Pittsburgh. One was a tip ball and one was a dumb throw, but he played well yesterday for Seattle. He's been rehabilitated. We're seeing Daniel Jones under Shane Steichen get rehabilitated. These guys, Baker Mayfield, clearly rehabilitated. You can do this, but again, it's not a physical thing. It's a mental thing. And we're going to see quarterbacks, I think, want to come and play for the 49ers and be a backup. So if, let's say they could, you know, Mac Jones. And if I'm the Niners, and I think this is why they did 2 years with Mac Jones, they did 1 year with Sam Darnold. If I'm the 49er, my deal is going to be, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I'm going to sit down with these guys and say, look, we'll rehab you and we'll trade you to a team and try to put you in the best situation. But for rehabbing you, you got to sign a 2 year deal, because they sign you to a 1 year deal and rehab you. What did Sam Darnold do in the second game last year for the Vikings? I'll remind you, he beat them and he threw a 96-yard touchdown to the best receiver in the and well, might be Jamar Chase, but it also might be Justin Jefferson. And so what we're going to do is, look, we'll get you to a great place, but we got to get something for you for rehabbing you. So it was a 1 year deal that they did for Sam Darnold. It was a 2 year deal they did for Mac Jones. And their thought process probably was, we'll rehab you, but then we're going to get something for you. You're not going to just get out of here for free, and we'll put you to a team you want to go to, but we're going to trade you somewhere. So I said before, maybe it's going to be Pittsburgh after Aaron Jones retires. Wherever it's going to be, a team always needs a quarterback. And it's not always going to be a team that's going to have a top five pick that's going to take a rookie. And a lot of times I don't want to take a rookie anyway. I'd rather take a guy that is established or has already gone through that stuff, like Darnold. And by the way, you think Minnesota wants Sam Darnold back now? JJ McCarthy, who got lucky against the Bears, they come back and win that, looked absolutely awful in week number two in that loss. And now he's got a high ankle sprain for JJ McCarthy. He's out for a couple of weeks. Now, what are they going to do at quarterback, Minnesota? So even though he was a top 10 pick, McCarthy, he may have to go through some growing pains. And here's a team that won, 13, 14 games last year, and Minnesota's going, damn, we don't have a quarterback now. So they're not in a position. They probably should have kept Sam Darnold. At least they should have franchised the guy. Maybe they trade McCarthy. I mean, they're not going to do it now, but What I'm saying is they had a pretty good quarterback at the time. So if I'm the 49ers, I'll rehab quarterbacks all day long, but I need to get something for that quarterback. So I need to sign him to a 2-year deal. So I would trade, you could trade Mac Jones next year. You get something for him. Even if he, like right now, I'd love it if Brock came back because that's his only game that he played. Hey, I got Mac Jones. He just threw 3 touchdowns, you know, went what, 26 for 39 or whatever he did. So now he gets rehabbed. You trade him for a 3rd-round pick. You take the next guy that you're going to rehab, and there you go. So maybe that's something that the 49ers can make a habit of and get some extra picks because, remember, they've hired minority coaches who have then gone on to other places. They get extra picks that way. You know, maybe they can be the place that quarterbacks rehab and they get extra picks that way. So anyway, all right, so that was Mac Jones. Let's hear a little bit from Christian McCaffrey, and I want to talk about McCaffrey because I told you all through camp, he's healthy, he's healthy, he's healthy, he's healthy. And then he had that thing right before the Seattle week, and everybody freaked out and was like, oh, my God, he's not going to play. Oh, my God, he's going to be hurt. But McCaffrey is healthy. McCaffrey played well. And right now, the way that this offense goes, maybe this guy's your MVP, but he brings up a great point, talks about the 2-minute offense before the half, and that's really what won the game for the 49ers, along with, of course, Bosa made a play late. And then, of course, as I told you, this dude screaming off the edge that they picked up from the Eagles after Saleh had him with the Jets 2 years ago. Huff, this guy can scream. But here is your 49ers MVP because he just makes everything turn. Here's Christian McCaffrey talking about how big that 2-minute drill was right before the half.
Okay, and the 2-minute can be complicated too. So for you know, new guys all over the...
Wait a minute, Christian. I thought it was easy. I thought it was really easy. I thought the Shanahan offense was easy because Coward said it was. It's complicated, really? Wow. Okay, thanks, Christian.
And it can be complicated too. So for you know, new guys all over the field to come in and execute that way, that was really cool. And I'll have to go back and look at the tape because sometimes you forget what new guys were in there, but... You know, a guy like Kendrick Bourne who just recently got here. Obviously, Max stepping up on the first play. You know, we had new guy at left guard. Like new guys all over the field who, you know, when they come in and you can execute, that's rare. That doesn't happen everywhere.
Was there any kind of relief of finally getting in the end zone again? Been a while.
Yeah, definitely. You know, yeah, love to get there a lot more. So, but no, I mean, I'm so happy to be playing on this team and feeling good. So. You know, we'll continue to get better and grow and get ready for next week.
All right, so there's Christian McCaffrey, and I just put down, as I put in parentheses there, MVP, he had 19 touches. That's combined touches and yards. So 19 touches, 107 yards, and 1 touchdown. I think that they made a concerted effort after having 31 touches in Seattle where they probably sat down and said, guys, if we give Christian McCaffrey 31 touches every single week, he's going to make it through, what, 6 weeks? We just can't do that. And Kyle Shanahan has talked about this all the time. It's just, they just can't help it. And he's got to be saved from himself because he'll stay out there the whole time. And if you're going to give him 31 touches, he'll take the 31 touches. But it's just at this point of his career, they just don't want to do that. So 19 total touches for Christian McCaffrey, which I like. Brian Robinson can take some of that stuff. One of the things that's missing from their offense, and they tried it once with Ricky Pearsall, they don't have the Debo factor of jet sweeps and things like that. That's something they got to find. I think that at some point, Sky Moore possibly could do something like that. He's still acclimating himself to the offense. He's just returning punts. He's purely a special teamer right now. But they've got to find some point of the offense of that where they can at least even the fakes, because then the guy's coming around the end. Christian can get help that way. But Christian, they added an element to the offense that I've always thought they could have done. I don't know if you noticed it, but out of the backfield, basically, they're running him as a receiver, but not in the slot. They're running him next to Mac Jones, and they just had him running routes right out of the backfield. And what they're doing is they're getting him lined up on a linebacker that way. And unless your name's Fred Warner, you're not covering, or D Winters, by the way, you're not covering Christian McCaffrey. It's just not happening. And so that was a nice little wrinkle that Kyle's put into his really simple offense to put Christian McCaffrey on linebackers. And a couple of times they made plays off of that. So right now, just because you're seeing Mac Jones come in and be able to run the offense, your MVP is McCaffrey, because when he runs routes out of the backfield like that, everybody's eyes are on him. Watch him run that route. They'll have three guys who they just can't help it. They're staring at him. And I talk to you all the time about this. It's like the Curry effect. Where's McCaffrey? Where's McCaffrey? And it opens up things behind him. The Jennings, you'll see that play, that the deep in route that he runs that he gets the 42-yard touchdown. Everyone's looking at McCaffrey, and just the one step that they stop for a second
or a split second, I should say, to look at McCaffrey. It allows guys to get deeper in their routes, and it opens things up for big plays behind him. So McCaffrey right now, I think, is your offensive MVP. And remember, I mean, you're still talking about Trent Williams and Juwan Jennings and who's ever playing quarterback that day. Whatever the case may be, McCaffrey just makes everything go around because he draws so much attention. If you go back and watch that game, it's constantly happening. So it's not only just in the backfield, but what they've done is keeping him next to the quarterback and then just straight running routes out of the backfield like that, like receiver routes straight out of the backfield. So doing that offensively, Juwan Jennings, 5 for 89 and a touchdown. And you got to give him a ton of credit because the guy is just crushing it, man. He's absolutely playing great. And he's banged up. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, there's not a lot of talk about the calf anymore, which I'm not saying that there originally wasn't an issue with the calf, but it was more contract than calf. I've told you that a million times. But that catch, that 42-yarder was absolutely huge. And let me give you a little bit on Juwan because he's not the most comfortable guy around a microphone, but this is pretty cool. Here he is talking about the big 42-yarder.
Yeah, it was just a normal routine play that we run a lot. Saw cover two. In my mind, I wasn't thinking I was going to get the ball because the backer dropped and got depth. But Mac ripped it and a beautiful ball and got into the end zone.
I just heard Nick talking about Mac's kind of fun personality. What does that do for you guys when you're
being
in the
middle? It gives us a lot of energy. You know, he plays with a lot of passion. You know, I think that's what San Francisco's made, you know, this team about. You know, we come out and we're just fiery and ready to go, and Mac is a great example of that. Yeah. Pain is pain. Worked through it. Training staff took care of me really well, and we was able to get back out there and perform like normal.
So let me replay something because, again, this goes back to Coward saying how easy this is. So within that play, if you hear what he says right here, he said he didn't think he was going to get the ball because the linebacker got the depth, but then he ripped it in there anyway. And again, you have 2.2 seconds to make this decision, and he's thinking to himself, I'm not going to get the ball. It's a decision within the play. This isn't set up. This isn't Kyle Shanahan. This is a quarterback making the decision. Listen to again what he says.
Oh, yeah. It was just a normal routine play that we run a lot. Saw cover two. In my mind, I wasn't thinking I was going to get the ball because the backer dropped and got depth. But Mac ripped it.
See, again, that's what I'm talking about. These plays, even though you might see something, these defenders, these defenses, they're going to disguise that defense. And he's thinking to himself, okay, what he means by that is if you saw the play, he's running this deep in, and he says the linebacker, Werner 20, gets depth. So he's thinking, okay, well, we know if they're getting that much depth, then there's not that hole in there in that two deep zone that he's not going to make that throw, but he throws it anyway. And he's like, okay, well, there is that. It was there. And then of course he takes it to the house at that point because the backside is open, but that's the decision that the quarterback's making. That's not Kyle. That's not easy. That's a quarterback making a read at that time, saying, okay, that linebacker is got that depth, but I still think I can fit it over it. There's nothing easy about that as the guys are trying to crush your face. That's not easy. It's a design by Kyle, but the defender knew it was going to be there. He just made a great throw over the guy. That's Mac Jones making a play. That's not Kyle Shanahan's design. Juwan Jennings didn't even think it was going to be there. That's a quarterback making a play. It just blows your mind that a guy who supposedly does this for a living and talks about these things, because again, he didn't watch the game and he's just assuming that Kyle has designed all these wizardry plays. Believe me, he does those things and he designs plays that get guys open. Nobody's saying that he doesn't, but he's assuming that it's just like, well, Kyle just designed all these plays on the throw at the end of the 2 minute offense that they scored right before the half, the lob that he throws, McCaffrey to score. That's a hell of a throw right there. That's not Kyle Shanahan design. That's a great touch throw that Mac Jones makes. That's a play by the quarterback. It's a great throw. It's a great play. Anyway, don't get me started back on that again. Jennings 5 for 89 and a touchdown. That's under the good. Warner 11 tackles and the forced fumble. Let's hear from Fred Warner and let's talk some defense because I told the Martin, who did the super, we said we'd start talking about the defensive line. So let's do that. But let's hear from Fred on the – I love how Fred describes how he got the fumble out of – let's see here. Okay, hang on. It's this one right here. Again, we're doing this on the fly because we kind of had a power surge, and so all these came off my board. So here's Fred talking about the fumble he forced from Alvin Kamara. This was a huge play.
With space, I mean, he's such a talented player with space, and you saw it today with some of the tackles that he was breaking. But I think Tig did a great job of getting out there and wrapping him up. And I mean, the dude is crazy. He had the ball way up here, and so I came in thinking I'm gonna catch the ball when it flies off his head. And then last minute, as I'm arriving, you know, there was moments in that drive prior where you see it on the tape. I'm trying my hardest to find an op, and I told those guys, I'm like, bro, it's coming. Like, just give me an op. And then that was the moment. Time just kind of slowed down. I was able to punch it out, and I knew for a fact he was still up. So I'm like, hey, we gotta come on. And that's why they didn't show it on the. No. I did not tell Kyle. Kyle, he makes all the decisions, right? So, but I knew for a fact they didn't show it on the big screen for a reason. So I'm like, hey, we gotta see that thing one time, right? So.
So that's a hell of a play. I mean, that was just a hell of a play by Fred Warner. So there's Warner talking about that. Defensive line. You talked about this before. Let me put this back on because I want to make sure that we realize that you said also, what did you think of Collins' play versus the Saint? I thought the defensive line in general, and look, this was something that goes back to training camp because we were talking about all of the young guys on the defensive line, but what's starting to happen here? And again, this is the Saints. They're not great, but so what? Whatever. We base it on what we've seen so far. Nick Bosa had 9 tackles and a sack, all right? And he was great again. Huff, and I told you about Huff in training camp. In fact, I told you the one play where, and again, let's be fair to Trent Williams. The guy's 37 years old. He's not going balls out in training camp all the time. But there was a play in training camp that I told you about that I was standing about 10 feet away from in which Trent was trying to get out of his stance and Huff was halfway by him. And Trent kind of turned around and went, that guy's pretty fast. And that's what Huff did to end the game on the fourth down. I mean, it was just like the dude was so fast against him. So you're talking about Huff. You're talking about Bosa playing with his chip on his shoulder, which he has so far. You're talking about Kalia Davis, who's made some plays so far. And if he can stay healthy, I think he can be a nice rotational piece. I'm not putting him in the Pro Bowl or anything like that. I'm just saying 93 can be a rotational piece. And then even though you're going to look at Mikel Williams' numbers and say he had 5 tackles and say, well, that wasn't much. On the play that Huff ended the game on, Bosa pushed the pocket. They put Bosa on the inside. Bosa pushes the pocket, and Mikel Williams, 98, pushes the pocket. Mikel Williams, while, again, you're not going to say he made many impact tackles, he pushed the pocket on 3 or 4 occasions, which allowed other players to make tackles. He was very impactful from the inside. Now, he was drafted as an edge guy, get it. But when he came from Georgia, made a lot of plays where he starts on the outside, and then when they go to rushdowns, he moves to the inside. And Bosa will move to the inside sometimes as well. Huff's screaming from the outside. They have some pieces. Yuto Gross-Matos is now healthy. They have some pieces now that can play inside and outside, and Robert Saleh's kind of messing with those chess pieces a little bit to figure out who can do what. Collins had some plays where he made some penetration. Again, they're not going to show up big in the numbers. But if you go back and you watch some replays, you're going to see 92 Collins penetrate a little bit. I'm a little surprised we haven't seen more from CJ West, who I think is going to come around. But as a whole, I'm just talking about the entirety of the defensive line. I'm not going to say they're the 2019 group with like an Armstead and a Buckner and that, all those kind of things, but they're holding their own. And Bosa's had a couple of great weeks. Huff is starting to get comfortable again in Saleh's defense. Mikel Williams had a really, really good game. You can see why they like him so much. And then let me throw in the front 7. Warner's playing amazing. Winners did miss a couple of tackles, but he is getting there, and he's making a ton of tackles. His best play might have been, was it Kamara who slipped? Or maybe it was one of the receivers, and he's just on you so fast. And so early in the game, he was really good. He did miss a couple of tackles, but again, he's right there. Siegel got beat for a touchdown, but Johnson made such a good catch in the corner of the end zone after dropping a couple to the Saints tight end. He's really, really aggressive. I mean, the defense is playing really, really fast, And it seems like, even though we're only through two games, it seems like these young players are really growing up fast. Mikel Williams is making a big impact. Siegel's making an impact. Winters in his second year is really playing well. Bosa's got a chip on his shoulder and playing well. Warner, through two games, is playing like he always plays. There's a zero drop-off whatsoever. Winters is taking what we saw in camp and what we saw in the preseason and holding it over to the regular season. So I'm not crowning this defense and calling it, you know, like it's been the Super Bowl defense. I'm not saying that at all. But teams are not throwing at Demo Lenore. So yeah, there's some really good things. I'm going to get to the bad in a minute. I put Stout's name under bad, but I'm going to explain that in just a second. But let me throw something up here before we leave on the defensive line, because Bosa had a really good point. Let me throw Bosa up here because he had a really good thing to say about let me see. Here's the fourth down play. Here's Bosa describing the fourth down play.
Obviously, we had to keep our head in it.
Can you just take us through that fourth down play and, like, you guys, everybody on the defensive front did their job and Huff comes in on the other side?
Yeah, I feel like we saved our best rush for the end. And I kicked inside and rushed the guard. And I just saw the ball flailing around. So it was good. Happy for Huff. Just feels a lot better. In the past, seems like we've found a way to lose. And two games like this, dogfights to start the year, and just closing it on defense, there's no better feeling. Huge, yeah, big time. We're going home next week. We're excited.
Yeah, so like I said, I think Seattle's going to be a good team. I think New Orleans is going to suck. It doesn't matter. You win two games on the road, that's big. You come home, you play Arizona. Arizona's just a weird team. Kyler's a pain in the ass. He's going to slide at the last minute. You can get penalties. James Conner is a hard player to play against. He runs really hard. Harrison is much bigger and better this year. McBride's a really good tight end. We'll get into this later. And then Gannon, just that's a tough defense. I think they're going to be better as the year goes on. They're kind of trying to figure themselves out as well. They won their first two games. They struggled a little bit with New Orleans. They struggled late in the game against Carolina, but they should be 2-0. Those are two bad teams. They should beat them, but Carolina, or sometimes the Cardinals play the Niners well, and it's just kind of a weird game, but we'll get into it later. More goods. Yeah. Pinheiro missed the extra point and you kind of went, oh, come on, dude. But then he hits 44 and 46 right down the pipe. And I don't know if Moody makes those kicks. I don't know, but they won by five and he was responsible for 6 points. I mean, at least on the field goals. And so, you know, for a week, even though he missed the extra point and I yelled at my TV, like, are you kidding? He made two good field goals. Winners, I just talked about. So that's what was the good. The bad, Stout was really weird. I love this kid. But again, this is a typical rookie, and this is exactly what Robert Saleh was talking about in training camp when I talk about Stout. So he had the game could have been over. It was 16-7. It's fourth down. Spencer Rattler, who, look, he's kind of a gamer. I think he's probably going to be a career backup, but he's not a bad quarterback. He's running out left on fourth and two. Upton Stout's got an opportunity to end the game and tackle him there with a few minutes left in the game, fourth quarter, and he misses the tackle. And Rattler gets the first down. New Orleans scores. It's 16-14, and they stay in the game, right? And right there, if Stout makes the player, what is it, 26-21? I guess that was the one that got him close. If Stout makes the tackle right there, the game's over, right? There's no drama at the end or anything like that. Now, look, they get the ball late. They're, you know, Huff makes the play anyway, but there's no drama at the end. You make that play you make that tackle on fourth down, game's over. He misses that tackle. There was also a holding call against him, which I thought was questionable at best, but still there was a play against him. But he made a couple of nice plays during the game. Upton Stout's a nice player. I think Upton Stout is going to be a really good player. But this is what Saleh was talking about in the preseason with rookies. They make mistakes. They're up and down. Made a couple of nice plays during the game. Had the missed tackle on Rattler. Had a holding call on a third down, which extended a drive. Siegel on a third down extended a drive with a holding call. So Siegel, rookie, third down holding call. Stout extended a drive, third down holding call.
rookies are going to do that. Stout kind of had an up and down day that way. I like the guy. I think he's going to be really good. I'm just saying. And then I put defense, good, bad, let Saints hang around. That's what I'm talking about. They had some bend, not break moments against the Saints. Penalties is pretty much what I'm talking about. Some young player moments in that game. As much as I like Winners, he missed a couple of tackles, some plays that could have been made by some young guys. On the outside, Green had a couple of plays, got beat a couple of times. They don't even throw at Demo, by the way. It's almost like the Richard Sherman treatment. Like, they just look at him and they just go, I'm not throwing at him. I mean, that's the kind of respect that Demo's already gotten. Pinnock got beat for a touchdown as well. I don't love Pinnock. Interesting, by the way, they played a lot of three safety with Jair Brown, Pinnock, and Siegel. A lot of three safety. Rather than put in the third linebacker, they moved Jair Brown up to what would be the third linebacker spot, and they played a lot of three safety, which I thought was really interesting in that game. And then the only uglies I had in this game, injuries. So you had Juice with the concussion. He's in protocol this week, and Bartsch can't stay healthy. So you hope that Connor Colby, the rookie from Iowa, can man that guard spot. And again, to just hit you with the injuries, there you go. That was Kyle today talking about him. Juszczyk, Neal in concussion, Bartsch, high ankle sprain, out a while. So Connor Colby is going to have to man that position, the rookie out of Iowa. The rookies are looking good, by the way, so far. Same old stuff that they always do, that the Niners, they get those mid-rounders. But Mikel Williams is really taking a jump forward. Juwan Jennings, I don't expect him to miss any time. Burford, unless they're missing somebody, and McKivitz and Williams are okay. Burford, that's a minor issue, but could become a major issue a little bit later. So that's what's going on as far as the 49ers. And we'll hit some NFL here in a second. Before I move off the Niners, any more thoughts on the game yesterday? Look, you go. Bottom line is this. You go 2-0 on the road, period, huge. I don't care who you play. And Seattle's going to be a good team. They beat Pittsburgh in the trenches badly, and that's what Pittsburgh does. If you go back and watch that game, they beat them badly. And they're 1-1. They're going to be tough. Then you come home and play Arizona. You should beat that team. And everybody said the Niners were done, and they could be 3-0. So that's pretty huge. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? Let me see here. Good to see you, SF Niners. Very, very cool. Let's see here. What are we talking about? I love tacos. What are you talking about tacos for? I need to know. Get me going here. Stopped in it. I like this. Stout is up and down. Very well done. Very well done there. Let's see. Hi, Universe Galaxy. It's good to see you tonight. Victory Monday. Very nice. Yeah, Moody signed with the Bears. With the Bears practice squad. That's pretty hilarious. How about Atlanta? They have two kickers. They have one in their practice squad, although he kicked ass. Atlanta looks like they're not bad. Let's see. What else do we have? Anything else on the Niners before we hit some national stuff? I'll go back to it if you got any more questions. Nationally, as you can see at the bottom there, NFL, Seahawks, Rams, Cardinals. The NFC West is going to be a bitch. Seattle, unfortunately, like I said, they dominated the Steelers in the trenches. I think they're going to be good. Darnold played much better. Rams are 2-0. They're going to be a mother. Cardinals win. They're 2-0, but they're fake. Eagles top the Chiefs, and everybody's the lazy narrative in the NFL right now is the Chiefs are done. I get it. Travis Kelce looks old. They've got an injury to Worthy, their fastest wide receiver. Their defense hasn't looked awesome. Look, it's Mahomes. Their defense is going to be fine. They have the same defensive coordinator. They'll come around. They'll make the playoffs at like 10-7 or 11-6, and no one will want to play them. And all of a sudden, they'll be in the AFC Championship game. I mean, that's just what they do. I'm not counting them out. How many times was Brady and the Patriots counted out? They're like, oh, it's the end of the run. I'm just not counting out the Chiefs. I know that Kelsey's a year older. You know, it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if Tyreek Hill went back to Kansas City. The Dolphins, Mike McDaniel's going to get fired at some point. Miami just lost to the Patriots at home. They're 0-2. They look terrible. And Tyreek Hill is not any fun if his team's not winning. And he's going to get traded somewhere. I hope it's not in the NFC so that they'd mess with the Niners. He's not going to the Niners. He's got a huge contract. And now that Kansas City is lacking wide receivers, it wouldn't shock me in the slightest if we went back to the Chiefs. They're going to do something. They're going to trade. They're not going to just sit on their hands. Kansas City will be fine. They'll make the playoffs, and no one will want to play them. So this whole narrative that Kansas City is dead, no way. I'm not buying it for a second. The Cowboys' wild win. I don't know why I thought this, and people can laugh and scream at me for this. I was kind of happy for a second. I know I don't like Russell Wilson. He's a cornball, and Mr. Unlimited, all that stuff. But just for like 1 second, because he's just been bashed so much for going to Denver, and then last year in Pittsburgh, he was terrible. He threw that touchdown late to that rainbow ball to Neighbors, and it looked like with like 25 seconds left, they were going to beat the Cowboys. Plus, I just don't like the Cowboys and Jerry. And they went up on him, and then Brandon Aubrey, my God, that 60, I'm sure you saw it. The 64-yard field goal that he hit, that would have been good for like 75. I mean, that thing was easy. That was an easy 64-yard field goal. And then he gets that one, and then he kicks another field goal with no time left, 40-something yarder, which is like an extra point to him. And they beat the Giants. And it was like, oh. So he's done. Brandon Aubrey is unbelievable. So they win, and that was a huge story yesterday. And then, as I said, I love this double Monday night thing. I don't know what you think, but Tampa beats the Texans with 6 seconds left, if you didn't see it. And then the Raiders look terrible, and Geno Smith is awful. And I don't care what Sam Darnold does in Seattle. They upgraded their quarterback position, which the only reason I mention it is because that affects the 49ers. Darnold's better than Geno Smith. Geno had a good first week, threw for 360-something. He was so bad tonight against Harbaugh and the Chargers. And all Harbaugh does is win. In the second year in which the Chargers were a complete mess and they had talent, kind of like when he got to San Francisco with the Niners, they had talent, they just didn't have any direction. And Harbaugh can give a team an identity faster than any coach I've ever seen. He walks in and says, we're going to be tough, we're going to punch people in the face, we're going to run the ball, we're going to play defense. What do they do? That's what they do. The Chargers are exactly what they were here. What they were at Michigan, what they were at Stanford, they punch people in the mouth, they play defense, they run the football. That's what they do. And that's what they did against the Raiders. And they're going to be a playoff team as long as Harbaugh's there. And I love double Monday night. And all they got to do is say, to hell with high school football, Thursday night you do NFL, Friday night you do NFL, Monday night you double it up. Let's go. Dominate. Stop feeling sorry for anybody. And you could take over Saturdays too. Although I love college football. So I guess don't mess with college football, but Thursday, Friday, do that thing like you did. They start the season with a Thursday game, the Friday game in Brazil. Then you give Saturday to college football, you dominate Sunday like you do, and you do a doubleheader on Monday. I mean, who's complaining about that? Because then you get to see more games. Because Thursday you got a solo game, Friday you got a solo game, Monday you got double up. Then I don't have to watch as many games on Sunday. Because then, you know, you got the Sunday nighter, which is a solo. I love the Vikings and Falcons. Falcons might be trouble, by the way. I loved it. And then finally, let's look at this real quick. Maybe I'll save this for tomorrow night. Yeah, maybe I'll save a deep dive into the first 2 weeks, because we've already got an hour and a half. So maybe I'll do this. Yeah, I'll save a deep dive in tomorrow, because I was going to do a deep dive into what we've seen so far, but let's do that tomorrow. All right, we'll do that tomorrow, because I got a lot of thoughts on. You don't want Friday NFL? I guess you got to go out on Fridays, but man, I love it. I really do. I guess the significant other would not like that, but I'll tell you, I like Thursday night, the Friday night, because there's so many games on Sunday, and I get it, man. You got the quad boxes, and you got Scott Hansen, and you got all that stuff, but wouldn't it be cool if it's like individual game Thursday, individual game Friday, you give college football Saturday, then you got all the games Sunday, whatever. And then you got an individual Sunday. And then you got a double Monday night, and they stagger it like tonight. Like, I was at the gym. I know this sounds crazy, but I was at the gym and I was watching the game, and then it was last minute. Baker makes it. Then I jump in my car and I'm listening to the first quarter of the Raiders Chargers. I get home and then I watch the last three quarters. And I'm like, basically you get to see more games. It's probably bad for relationships though. Cause I just ran in here and my wife wants to talk, and I'm like, nah, 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 nah. It's like, no, I can't talk. Game's on. She's like, there's always a game on. I'm like, yeah, sorry. It's fall. It's always a game on. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's probably bad for relationships. Maybe I take it back. Kind of don't, though. I would really like to. Because seriously, what's that? Thursday, Friday, college Saturday, Sunday, double Monday. It's like five. So the only days he would have off really are Tuesday, Wednesday.
Like, you'd have to tell your significant other, like, if you want to do something, Tuesday, Wednesday is basically it. And then that's, you know, anything else, sorry, don't really have any time. Yeah, a lot of divorces probably. I don't know. I'll think about it. All right, anything else tonight? Thanks to the super from our good friend Martin, which, like I said, good point on Mac Jones. Maybe become a backup quarterback factory. Mac Jones is on a 2-year deal. Just don't play him anymore. Get Brock back and just say, see that one game that Mac Jones played through 3 touchdowns? Give me a second round pick. Probably get a third round pick, though, for him. And your other part of your question was Collins. He pushed the pocket a couple of times, but the D-line's getting better and better. And we know what when the D-line's good for the Niners, we know what happens. And they're going to score enough points. They're going to score enough points. Because all of a sudden, guess what? DeMarcus Robinson only has to sit out one more game, and that's a home game against the Cardinals. All of a sudden, you're going to get him back. You get through 3 games. I think Ayuk's going to be around week 8. So, you know, again, a couple more games, and you're about halfway getting him back. Knock on wood, if you're with me, McCaffrey has been healthy. And you know, I talked to a couple of people after that Seattle game. They're like, don't want any more 31 touch games for McCaffrey. Let's keep that under. Let's not do that anymore. And if you play Thursday, Friday, don't play next week. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm just speaking out loud, but then I'm starting to think, yeah, that's probably going to lead to a lot of divorces. Football 5 times a week. I mean, right now it's 4 times a week. And then, yeah, if you do one Monday Nighter, it's bad enough. If you do 2 Monday Nighters, it's like, you're not going to talk to anybody. Kids are going to be like, Daddy, can I? No. 2 Monday Nighters. Sorry, I got fantasy football. I got bets. Can't talk to you right now. So that's probably a bad thing. So anyway, all right. We will be back tomorrow. Since there is no football, we'll be back at 7 o'clock Pacific. So make sure you set your clock by that. We'll be back Wednesday. We'll get some guests this week. Got to get somebody from Arizona this week to talk some Cardinals football, because I know they're 2-0, but come on, man, they played New Orleans and then they played Carolina. So I'm not a believer in the Cardinals, but let's get somebody from Arizona this week. Probably do that Wednesday. We'll get the behind enemy lines for Wednesday against the Cardinals. So make sure you tune in for that. We'll also talk some, I know Bryce Eldridge is up tonight as they played the D-backs in the desert. So we'll get a little bit of baseball in here as well, because the Giants are making a light charge. So we'll get into that as well, but we'll do a little bit more. And then tomorrow night, we'll take that, that deeper dive and widen out the lens a little bit and get into the rest of the league through a couple of weeks. We'll do that tomorrow night as well. And remember, if you got any questions, comments, or thoughts, hit them right underneath the show right here. We can do that. We'll do some of the questions tomorrow. If you got any questions on X at John Lund Radio is a good place to hit me up as well. Before you get out of here tonight, please hit me up on YouTube. YouTube, John Lund Unleashed. Please make sure a few different things. You're subscribed to the channel, John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Please subscribe to the channel. Hit us with a like before you get out of here tonight as well. That would be outstanding and dandy, and keep those alerts on so that we can bother you throughout the day when news breaks or when we send out new stuff. John Lund Unleashed on YouTube would be great. And for all things Unleashed, including my weekly national media column, or in a national sports media column, and we put that up at John Lund Unleashed, and we got archives of shows and all archives of the podcast as well. That is at johnlundunleashed.com. So check that out for all things Unleashed. Anything else tonight, or else speak or forever hold your peace. It's been great catching up with everybody again. I'm sorry I was out for a couple of days, but we will be back on a regular schedule now again. So it is great to see everybody. If I missed anybody tonight, it's good to see John Joseph again, and Dom, and 420. And Christopher tonight, and everybody that showed up again. Joe Schmo being back. Let's see, who else do we have that I missed? SF Niners 808 from the islands, baby. Let's see, I think we hit everybody else. So very cool. All right. Thanks to everybody for hanging out. Barry, Oasis fan. Very cool. Good to see you tonight. Anyway, all right. Good. Good to see everybody. Everybody have a wonderful rest of your Monday. What time is it? Is it late? Whatever is left of your Monday. Have a great Monday. Have a great Tuesday. And we'll speak at you tomorrow night. Like I said, tomorrow night.